Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Hi, this is Layla from the Himitude News Network and the Hill Chronicles. Thanks for joining in. Before the show begins tonight, of course, Bernie will be on here shortly. I'm going to play a little Beatles music for you, my favorite. I love the Beatles. I've been a fan since I was a child and always will be. Let's see. Anyways, there's been a lot in the news this week. A lot. The hate crime bill that's going to be passed in Congress if we don't stop it. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about the May Day rallies yesterday and several others.
I'm here.
Hey, Bernie. Well, I guess we'll,
how are you?
I guess I'll skip the Beatles music.
Oh, no. Oh, what happened? Did I interrupt something?
Oh, no. This is one of those days nothing is going right.
Oh, what's the matter?
Well, I put the music in and, oh, it's just burning it instead of playing it.
Oh.
So I'll let it burn it. Then I can just play it later at the end of the show.
Okay.
So how was your day?
Well, I have this terrible sore throat. And I usually don't get sick, but my son got strep throat earlier in the week, and I think he caught it from his daughter, who probably caught it from somebody else in school.
Oh, gosh, it sounds like what they're going through around here. Joshua had it all weekend, and then John had it. Oh, God, you can still hear him coughing. Sore throat and headache is how they had
it. Oh, so I guess it's just something going around.
Yeah, fortunately, I haven't got nothing, but I think that's because I spend most of the winter on antibiotics.
I just put my post put it to bed about 5 minutes ago. I had my millionth page view today.
Oh, you did? Congratulations.
After 471 days of blogging.
Oh, 471 days?
Yeah.
Wow, so that's what? That's like 2 years?
16 months, actually. A year and a quarter.
Oh, okay. Is that how... When did you start your blog?
January of 2006.
Oh,
but actually, the first few months were horrible. I mean, I had like 10... I used to email people, friends, relatives, mm-hmm. even strangers, come visit the site, just to get... my average visitors for the first, I think, 2-3 months were 10 visitors a day, you know.
And, wow.
So anyway, I put in the blog an interesting perspective is that this past week I've had, obviously I'm doing more now than in the beginning. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, I average like something like 41,000 page views this week. And Michelle Malkin had 899,000 page views, which made her 22 times bigger than I am. So,
I guess they brought it all down to focus for you, huh?
Yeah, that's, it sounds great. And then I, look at another site, like Michelle Malkin's, which gets almost in like 10 days, it takes me every 22 days to do what she does in one day,
So, wow.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'll just keep plugging away,
That's good. That's really good. I'm glad to hear that, and
I wasn't.
One of us is on the map, anyways. I mean,
yeah, I wasn't going to do anything, but when I looked at the at today, like actually about five, a little after 5 o'clock, I said to my son, I had my millionth page view, and I went to see who it was, and it's some student from a community college in Texas, and he was looking up an article on Kilo, eminent domain that I had written
mm-hmm.
back in June or whatever. And anyway, my son says, well, why don't you commemorate it like a birthday? And I figured, well, okay, I'll do the million, but I don't think I want to do like every million, so the next one should be like 5 million,
Yeah,
and then
right.
50 million, something like that.
That's
cool. And my son said, you're not going to live that long.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I know. Well, 50 million hits is a lot,
You never know. You might get there. Anyways, I thought we'd start off the show tonight talking about May 1st, yesterday, the May Day rallies, where the hecklers were taunting the police and throwing things at them in Los Angeles. And as a result, what happened, the police, put a stop to it and demanded that the people disperse. Well, as a result, unfortunately, some reporters from the MSM, from Univision, were claiming that the police used excessive force and that it was really it was unprovoked of the police to do what they did. They should have announced that they were asking the people to disperse first before just making them disperse. And
well, maybe they should have done what the Israelis did, drop flyers off from helicopters,
Really? Well, I have a quote here. I know, it's ridiculous. I have a quote here that says, "The clash at MacArthur Park started after 6 p.m. when police tried to disperse demonstrators who had moved off the sidewalk onto the street. Authorities said several people of the few thousand still at the rally threw rocks and bottles at officers who fired rubber bullets and used buttons to push the crowd back onto the sidewalk." Now, that's an accurate account. However, reporters, like I said, from the MSM and from Univision, the Latino-based media network, are all saying the police used excessive force, that it was unnecessary. I mean, so in other words, the point I made in my post is what I'm asking is, what's the point, if police cannot use force, then I ask, what's the point of even having a police force? Because that is what they are there for, to protect us and to use force when necessary.
Well,
and considering they were being attacked with bottles and cans and...
Listen, just the fact that they were doing, throwing anything, bottles or anything else, and I think so less than a dozen of them were actually taken to hospitals, these kids, So it's not like 500 people were hospitalized. They were all, none of it was serious. They were lucky that they were in any other country, they would have been shot, you don't throw...
No, you don't do that. And my other point that I made was regarding ICE, that we had the resources yesterday and on any other time when they've had these rallies in the past, last year, this year, even on a daily basis, we had the resources. ICE did and does have resources to pick up a majority of these illegal ralliers. But the problem is that they choose not to, because at the end of the day, the left's financial funding is what's dictating. And I think it's terrible. I mean, right now they're saying that the police department in L.A. is going to review the clash on May Day and see if the officers were in violation or at fault. So my next point is that I, hope that these police officers are dealt a fair hand and not given the same left hand of fellowship for doing their job as was the case with the two Texan border control agents that are now jailed that our president refuses to pardon. When is enough enough?
Well, that's what happens, of course, is if, one of these people are getting attacked by someone in their home or whatever else, they'll say the police didn't respond fast enough or with enough gusto and force, that that they're not doing their job. So, when they're on the other end, the receiving end of criminal activity, they want the police to be there, first, fast, and with tremendous force. But if they throw bottles and things at the, if I'm in a crowd and I find myself in the wrong crowd, which I did one time, you have to leave real quickly. You see people throwing, bricks at or rocks or bottles or anything at police. Well, the first thing you got to do is just run for your life, because you know that something bad is going to happen afterwards. I was in Czechoslovakia when the in '68, for the Russian when the Russians invaded Prague. Mm-hmm. And we had all these students, and my brother and I were just caught in a. At first, we weren't sure what we were in. There were students yelling at a whole bunch of police, a lineup of Czech police, mm-hmm. That were keeping the students away from the military, from the Soviets, because I guess they didn't want the thing to escalate any worse.
Right.
And I took a few pictures, and you heard a lot of yelling. And all of a sudden, somebody threw something, and the next thing you know, these police were shooting, okay? My brother and I had to run so fast, Okay. I mean, we weren't, you know, it's like you're somewhere, you're in a, and we weren't in part of the rally. We weren't like in part of this group. It's just that we were
There.
caught. Yeah, we were. 1968 was a tough year to be in Europe. There were riots in Paris. I got hit. My camera got hit by a French gendarme because he thought I was a leftist photographer or something, and I had to yell out, you know, that I'm an American in French, and he stopped. And, but anyway, all throughout Europe in '68, there were all kinds of riots, so and things were going on. So anyway, we ran into a restaurant, my brother and I. And we sat at a table that was just somebody had just left, and we pretended that we were eating food. And in comes rushing in one of the cops for the Czech police with a pistol in his hand. He's looking around, and fortunately, none of the Czech people in the restaurant, none of the Czechs, you know, pointed and said, "Hey, those are the guys you were chasing," because you know, I guess they knew that whatever we were running from the police that. We weren't criminals, you know. We were
right.
Probably anyway. We looked like students and everything else, but it was very scary because they came around looking at, and we were eating off these plates of whatever food was left that the people didn't finish eating. You know, it was horrible. You know, these people. Who knows what they could have spat the food out, you know, and not finishing it. Now I'm cutting it and putting it in my mouth, eating it like, you know. Yeah, you can get yourself caught in. But when you see, like I said, you see somebody throwing something, you got to run the hell away. Now, I wouldn't purposely have gone to one of those rallies. And, you know, when somebody says, "Oh, okay, let's go in, you know, 25,000 people, 30,000 people," you're talking about a dangerous situation. The rally would have to be for something very, very important. And hopefully the kind of people that you're going to the rally with are, you know, not violent and everything. I mean, if you look at all these immigration rallies or, you know, the people who go for these things, you know, you get anarchists, you get, you know, anti-war people, you get the PETA people, you get wackos, you know, and some of these guys don't have any problem throwing things. I mean, I could never imagine that I would be in a rally with, say, let's say a Michelle Malkin rally, you know, or a Rush Limbaugh rally. I wouldn't think of anybody, them throwing, they would never dream of throwing the police. The police, you know, they would be respected and, you know, I mean, there I would go into a rally
right.
with 10,000, 20,000 people, but I would never go to, if I had any of my children, I would shoot them first and say, "Listen, let me shoot you first so that you don't get injured later by somebody. At least I will shoot you in the leg, because if you go to an anti-war rally, you're going to be injured because there are nothing but idiots and stupid people going to anti-war. In fact, in every anti-war rally, if there's 100,000 people or 25,000 people, there's maybe 2,000 that are really anti-war, and the rest are just coming out because they have nothing to do that day. And the Wicca Party or save the polar bear from the Eskimos party with seven people, they don't have enough people, not even to make a parade. They don't even have enough people to make a minyan in the Jewish, you know, to make a prayer. So they have to go to these, whenever there's an anti-war rally or immigration rally, they love to go to them because at least they can go somewhere and display their banners. You know, if you look at these things, most of the banners are not even for whatever the major group is there. They draw in every wacko group in the world, okay? I mean, it's... that's a good reason. So if people, when I hear that there was a clash, I wasn't there. Okay, I didn't know what happened. I don't know if the police were actually, you know, overzealous or whatever. But I'll tell you right now, my first inclination is to say that only 10 people got injured. That's a shame. They all should have been injured. Okay?
Well, you know, I have a commenter to this post. I'm going to read you what he said because he makes a good point. Because, like you said in the beginning of the conversation regarding yesterday's events in L.A. What were they supposed to do, drop leaflets from the sky? Well, this gentleman says, let me see if I have this straight. One, millions of people came here illegally. Two, they are in the streets by the hundreds of thousands demanding that the government change laws. Three, they attack our police in a violent manner with rocks and bottles, potentially lethal. Four, these attacks were entirely unprovoked. Five, as a result, we are investigating the police. Then he goes on to say, what the fuck? Have we lost our minds?
Well, yeah, we have
and
lost
then,
our minds.
Yeah. And then he says, I have never, ever known anyone who has attacked a police officer in any manner at all. I believe it's a felony for a citizen to do so, which it is. He's correct. Then he finishes by saying, what were the police supposed to do? Raise a white flag and salute anyone who attacks them?
Yeah, what are we, French? I mean, you know, we're Americans, you know, and our police are supposed to be there to protect public order, you know, not to kowtow to... Listen, it's very simple. If they didn't take actions, then the rock throwing would have gotten worse. The chutzpah, the nerve of the group, would have grown more and more assertive because they would have seen no resistance to their provocations. And the only thing would have got, you know what it would have escalated to? What it escalates in like in France. All the cars would have been overturned, set on fire. I mean, if you saw what was happening in Paris, they had thousands and thousands of cars set on fire by these youth because the police refused to take proper action. Now, you know, if in my town, if I see a group of people burning, cars and overturning them and throwing rocks at citizens, I want the police to shoot those people. I don't want them to use rubber bullets. I want them to use bazookas against these people. I do not want them to do what the French did. I want them to take action. That the police were restrained and just used rubber bullets mm-hmm. and batons is a good thing. That only 10 people were injured shows to me that they acted with restraint. 25,000 idiots are out there chanting and raving and people are throwing rocks and only 10, 12 people are taken to the hospital? That's absurd. That's nothing.
It was only with minor injuries. I mean, they didn't shoot at them, you know, real bullets and injure innocent children, whatever. The whole discussion, I mean, revolves around the fact that now they're being investigated. I just think it's crazy. It's wrong.
Of course it is. It's first of all, it's morally wrong. It's morally wrong
yes,
to question your police that only injured a few people, that didn't kill anybody, okay? And I tell you, and somebody's throwing rocks or bottles at me, it all has to do with hitting you in the right spot, and you're blinded for the rest of your life or you're dead. I said, listen, if you have to shoot them, shoot them. I mean, this is a terrible thing, and you say, well, how could you be so cruel? I'm not the one who's throwing the rocks. I'm not the one who's, you know, there's people, there's such violent, you know, And then I'm accused of, you know, being a violent physical person. I'm only saying what to do in self-defense.
Well,
they're doing it without provocation.
Now, yeah, in my responses, I normally don't do this, but because of several topics I've chosen that we talk about tonight, because I have them documented and have picked them for that reason, so that we're not accused again of just talking out of the side of our necks.
Well, you know, what you should do the next day is actually list the you know, citations for some of the things we say in a blog post the next day and say, listen, here's what we podcasted about. We mentioned the following topics. I wouldn't mind doing that.
I think it would be fun. Maybe we both could start doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Get our notes together and blog
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, what do these people think? That I'm sitting here, I have a dartboard that has a little thing that says, okay.
Yeah, they were agoraphobic. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. Of course we give our personal opinions, but should I call you an idiot or an agoraphobic if you don't agree with me? No, you'd be crying that, you know, we're ignorant, we're calling names, we're this, you know. But when they do it, the left or whoever does it, it's okay. I mean, you don't sit on a talk radio, you know, you listen to Rush Limbaugh. He's not there with a list of facts, just spouting facts. He's giving his opinion, his commentary. And I'm going to read you a paragraph that I made in this post, which is my opinion. I believe it's profound. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the excerpt I'd like to say is what I wrote is, on a personal note, I really don't care what these illegals claim or how they shrill and decry ill treatment. The illegals had whatever they had coming for taunting the American people with their illegal status. They are here illegally, and all good law-abiding citizens are fed up with it. Instead of humility, which Americans might, because generally we are a good-natured people, find some sympathies for them, are faced with an arrogant lot of ignorant thugs. And that's just my personal view. you know, if someone wants to take issue with that, I don't care. But that's how I view the whole situation with of illegal immigration. There's no humility there. They're slapping the face of their host country. That is basically, really, when you think about it, basically saying, well, we're going to let you stay. We're probably going to let you stay. We're probably not going to make you go back home. I mean, they're probably going to get their way. And this is how vehemently hateful they act? They couldn't even conduct themselves in a responsible manner.
Well, you know, it's tactically even, it's stupidity. You know, if I was in Saudi Arabia and I wanted them to accept Jews, I certainly wouldn't be parading in the streets with an Israeli flag and shooting bullets and saying Saudi Arabia should be speaking only Hebrew and, you know, that Saudi Arabia at one time was part of the greater Israeli empire, which it was in Solomon's time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so, I mean, I could be saying all those things, you know, but that's not a way to get Saudi Arabia to even, you know, change its mind about Israelis. You know, you have to use a little politic. You know, you have to, if you want to do, you want to press your claims, you publish things, you write things, you petition, you give your case as logically as you can. You know, you say things.
At the end of the day, it boils down to, simply speaking, a very old-fashioned adage that we've all heard, we've all probably used. You get a lot more with honey than vinegar.
Yeah. Hey, listen, what you do is you publish, okay, just like everybody else who wanted their way. I mean, the Jews didn't wind up, you want to say, controlling Hollywood by force of arms.
No.
You know, they started making movies, and they got good at it, and they made studios, they invested money, they got other people to invest money, they found a little niche they could get into.
Well,
if you look at the fashion industry,
yeah,
you have the Italian, I got to tell you, if you know, I go to Milan once a year for the best designers in the world. You see some of the appliances that the Italian designs make. Everybody found a nice niche for themselves, but they don't need to have a gun to convince yourself.
But,
now,
see,
it happens that
I just wanted to say real quick, on what you're saying, a good point to bring out here is that all these different people from different ethnicities, what they've done is they have contributed to the community and made it viable. And whether they were all Jews or all Germans or all Italians, it really isn't relevant. Their goal wasn't to set a precedent because I'm an Italian or I'm a Jew or I'm a German. I'm talking about America only. It was because they wanted a piece of the American pie. They set a stake in this country. They set up a claim in this country, and they built upon it, and it grew, and they reinvested because they believed in what they were doing. They believed in the American people, and they believed in this country. And here, you don't see Jews or Christians or Italians or Germans discriminating against one another and trying to isolate them outside of their community. I mean, they welcome them. Even the Asians, most Asians, whether they be Korean, Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese, they're basically to themselves. They really don't intermingle. But when you go into their communities, let's say to eat at their food or take your close to their cleaners or whatever, or to just shop in one of their businesses, you know, for clothes or trinkets or even some of their specialty foods, you're treated well. You're not
forced
out. And they even if they don't speak English well, they go out of their way to communicate with you. They don't have that arrogant attitude, you know.
Yeah, the Korean dry cleaners doesn't ask you to speak Korean when you go to pick up your clothes.
Listen,
you know?
I know. And let me tell you something. Yesterday was a bad day for me.
Oh,
I had
you went to the dry cleaners?
No, I did one of my typical I'm going to get myself killed one day. I've got a big mouth. I don't take crap from anyone. But yesterday I was in a bad mood because I was not happy with what I was seeing going on in May Day. And I'm ashamed to say that my hometown that I haven't lived in for 5 years, Chicago, is a sanctuary city for many of these illegal aliens. And I'm just ashamed. I ask, what happened to you, Mayor Daley? You know, just saying, oh, well, he's a Democrat. What do you expect? I don't give a damn if you're a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or nothing. where is your morals, you know? But I had gone shopping and got at home, got out of the cab. My husband came out to help me with some of the things that I had bought. And I paid the cab driver. And I was just got up to the sidewalk. And we get a lot of Jehovah Witnesses here. But this was an American girl with obviously a Hispanic girl. And she said to me, do you speak Spanish? And that was the wrong question to ask me yesterday. I flipped on her, turned around, looked at her. I says, no, I don't speak Spanish. This is America. And they just kind of looked at me and kept walking. And I didn't say no more. But then I got to my front door because I was just so mad. I yelled out real loud, se habla inglés? Inglési, or however I say it. Se habla inglési? Like, you know, asking them in Spanish, do you speak English? And John was just sitting in the front room laughing. And he says, what was that all about? I said, I've just had it. You're in America. Speak English. What are they walking up to me, a white girl, a white Gentile girl? You know I'm a white Gentile. I've got blue eyes, blonde hair, you know, fair-skinned. You know I'm not Hispanic. I mean, it's possible I could be from Guadalajara or South America, where some of them are very light. They do have blue, green eyes, but it's rare. But if you look at me, you know I'm nowhere near Hispanic.
Wait a second. Were you wearing any, like, a cap or something that said Gonzalez on it?
No. No. And I don't wear caps. They're too boyish for me. I'm a girly girl. I don't wear the boy stuff. I'm not into the baseball caps, even the girly caps. I'd have to have a good reason to wear them. Maybe I'd wear one of Michelle Milken's caps that she sells off Hot Air, but that's about it. But no, I'm not into that. No. You know, and I look as American as they come, as far as, you know, what our image of being a white American is. And, you know, it just appalled me. You know, here I have this other American asking me, and you knew she was a white girl too, asking me if I speak Spanish, because she had this other non-English speaking Latino girl with her who wanted to witness to me about Jehovah Witnesses. I don't want to get into that subject, but the point is my anger and frustration is, what is wrong with these people? Even our own American, well, do you speak Spanish? It doesn't matter if they asked me or they asked 100 other people. It's this trend in this country that all of a sudden we're beholden to them to learn Spanish?
Huh?
Sorry, this is a bad subject. You know, people say your name's Gonzalez. Why don't you have sympathies for your people? Hello, my husband's Puerto Rican, and he's an American citizen. He was born in Chicago, and even if he was born in Puerto Rico, it wouldn't matter. He's still a naturalized citizen because Puerto Rico is a commonwealth. So,
yeah,
I mean, you know, too many assumptions about people. Another good example where we bank, they've always been sending our correspondence in English. Now, all of a sudden, they're sending everything in Spanish. And I called them, what is this about? Well, your name is Gonzalez. I said, don't ever assume. Do you know how many Hispanics that are born in this country? One of my husband's best friend in Chicago, God bless JC, Mexican and Cherokee Indian mix, doesn't speak a word of Spanish. You know?
Yeah, the bank shouldn't be sending things out in Spanish unless the person requests it.
My husband said. Good point. You know, like, he said, like, why, when you open a bank account, why don't they have something when you open the bank account to ask you, would you like your correspondence in English or Spanish? And then it's checked, you know, that these people want English, these people want Spanish. I don't have a problem with that if that's what they're going to do, but
unless you're asking, I'll tell you why it's wrong. Because certainly, if your name is Wiener Schnitzel, they don't send out notices in German. Or if your name is Columbo, they don't send it out in Italian.
Hey, if your name is Stern, are they sending you your notices in Yiddish or in Hebrew?
That's right. They don't do it, you know, and they shouldn't do it. What right do they have to assume what language you speak? The assumption should be that you speak English, unless otherwise told.
But what was even more infuriating is they didn't even. My husband turned the letter over, and expecting to see English on the other side, there was no English. You know, a lot of times when you buy things nowadays, you know, you open the cover of the handbook or you'll get mail and it'll be in English, and then you flip it over, there'll be Spanish. Some of the handbooks that come with appliances now are in also in French and German and Italian.
Well, yeah, 10 different languages.
Yes, exactly. You know, I have no problem with that because a lot of these products are sold worldwide. You know, a lot of correspondence is worldwide. We live in a global world.
Yes.
But, you know.
Well, we live in a global world for appliances, but once we're in America, you know, certainly a bank that deals in America, it's not like people in Germany are making deposits on 22nd Street in New York. You know, I mean, it's a bad attitude. You know,
yeah,
it's starting to make people, it's enabling people to continue to speak Spanish, and they shouldn't be doing it. People shouldn't be speaking Spanish.
Well, it's a politically correct crowd.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with taking Spanish in high school,
no.
or taking Spanish to learn to do business with Mexico or South America if you're in the export business. But certainly once you get home, once you're on the street, I think anybody who doesn't speak English is a criminal. My parents at home, certainly they spoke, whatever language they could feel comfortable with. They tried English first. If they couldn't get the word in English, they would ask me and tell it to me in Polish or Yiddish or whatever, and I would tell them what it is in English, and then they would use that word. But they would try to speak English, even at home, when it was, you know, difficult and not easy to do. But my parents, you know, they came, my father came when he was like 44 or 45 years old into America. Mm-hmm. Not an easy thing to learn a new language. But that's what he did. He spoke horrible. He spoke with the most horrible accent. You know, my friends could hardly understand him. I'd have to translate. But that didn't stop him from trying to speak English because he was in America.
Yeah, here's another good example. Yesterday was my day. I mean, people just seem to have attitudes around here. What I had done was ordered pizza because I didn't want to cook. So we ordered typical Pizza Hut stuff and called up and placed the order. They said 45 minutes. Well, I get a phone call about a half an hour later, and no, it was about 45 minutes later, actually. And I'm like, what? And it's like, literally, I'm sorry, I don't understand you, you know, and he kept repeating himself, but I could not understand it. It sounded unintelligible to me. So I asked the guy to repeat himself. I still didn't understand him. I said, look, I'm sorry, you must have the wrong number. So I hung the phone up. Well, then Pizza Hut calls me and says that, well, we've got your pizza out there and the guy is waiting to deliver it. And I said, well, didn't you tell him I live on the side of the building? And he's like, yeah, we told him, but he's just kind of lost. It's okay, I'll go out there. No problem. Sorry, you know, I didn't realize that was him calling. I had a very difficult time understanding. And he was like, oh, that's okay, ma'am. Now, this was an Indian guy I was talking to. I know the guy because we've gone up there before and ate, and a real nice fella. Well, I get out there, and this guy, his name was Abdullah. Why did you hang up the phone on me? And I had your pizza. I said, look, I didn't realize you were from Pizza Hut. When I answered the phone, you didn't say Pizza Hut. You just start talking to me, and I couldn't understand you. It was unintelligible to me. Maybe it was your cell phone, but I couldn't understand you. I'm sorry for any inconvenience. He flips out of the car because I was standing by the curb, comes around, and says, didn't even open the door to get the pizza out yet, and starts hollering at me, you Americans. You're so ignorant. You can't speak any language. You can't understand people. You're so dumb. All you want to know how to do is eat McDonald's and pizza. So I said, look, just give me my pizza. I mean, I shouldn't have even tipped him, but I did. I just handed him the money, and I went in the house, and he's yelling at me, bitch. And I was so mad. I turned around and said, learn how to speak English better. Maybe you won't have this problem. And I called Pizza Hut. And their response was, well, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we have to give everybody a job even if they don't speak English. I says, I don't care about that. The fact that you've got people who can't speak English but can't be polite, if the man can't speak English, fine. He's learning, I would hope. But he doesn't have to be rude. I said, it was an honest mistake. I could not understand him over the phone. Well, what do you want, your money back, ma'am? I says, no, I would like to see the guy corrected. You know, I'd like to see him be reprimanded and reminded that we are customers spending our money and we deserve a little bit better treatment.
Okay.
It was just a mistake.
Yeah, that,
you know,
the,
and I didn't get nothing. So he was like, well, what can we do? I said, you know, it's nothing. I just won't patron Pizza Hut. There's other locations.
Yeah,
I just won't come to yours.
Listen, it's very simple. You call and you say, listen, do you have drivers who speak English? Because if you don't, I can't have the deliveries because I'm hard of hearing. And when they say what, you say what. And they say what, you say what.
I know. It's ridiculous, though. I mean, I was really disappointed, you know, at just at the whole attitude.
Well, the worst, of course, is when you get certain customer service for, you know, Dell or whatever, some of these things. And
mm-hmm.
I had a customer service call the other day I had to put for some crazy iPod or something. Anyway, mm-hmm. so I'm talking, and this is, by the way, you know, the two things that annoy me, you know, like that one of them I don't know is use the people who won't speak. Hey, listen, I'd rather have somebody trying in English.
Oh yeah.
Than anything else. But what the other thing that I really dislike is people who, well, it's like, you know, I can't even blame the people. It's got to be the school system. I'm talking to this woman about some kind of problem, and she says, you know, she's talking about my accent. She says, where are you from? I said, New Jersey. And
mm-hmm.
she says, oh, well, where exactly on the map is that? Now, I know what you're thinking. Was I talking to customer service in Delhi, India? No. This was a girl from Kansas.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know where New Jersey is on the map.
Oh, my God. It happens,
though. Yeah, so when she says, you know, look, it's one thing, to say a city somewhere, you know, I don't know, what's the capital of Mongolia? Okay, I mean, I happen to know, but I would say maybe 1 out of 10,000 people might know. You know, it's Ulan Bator. But the thing is that that's Mongolia. We're talking about New Jersey. They should have some idea that it's on the East Coast. No?
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable how uneducated our children are. And I don't like it when people blame the educational system because my son is in second grade learning geography. I think it's just a lack of ethics on the part of parents to support their children while they're in school and, you know, give them good study habits.
But I can't understand
what's
happening here. I remember going when I went to school. We had geography, we had history, we had all those things, and so I don't know what are the maybe I have to sit in a classroom and see. It must be that the only thing is that they must be taught. Okay, to me, what I think a teacher spends all day doing is okay. Violence never solves any problem. It's no good to fight back in self-defense. Be tolerant of everyone, even if they hate you. Be nice to other people.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that this is what they're teaching kids.
Yes, and let me tell you something. That was going to be the topic of my next subject regarding what are children being taught in school.
Really?
In a sense, because in California they're trying to pass legislation, and here in Washington, D.C., on the Hill, they're trying to pass, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called the Gay Hate Crime Bill. Have you heard of it?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I'm going
to... Well, first of all, I'm opposed to all hate crime bills. You know,
I know.
They're just an excuse. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm just going to read you some of this to give you a backdrop for whoever is listening. If they're not aware of this, I had said on my post, I said, gays, God against your sin. And then I wrote, I did not say it, God did. I did this purposely because my point is, but the hate crime bill on the Hill is on its way to being passed. This bill will make what I just said prior to the second sentence a crime, hate crime to be exact. Now, I actually got this information regarding the hate crime bill from... Now, we can go to the House and get their story and also the Senate and get the story from there. And last year, these gays are blaming the Republican-controlled Senate last year because they didn't pass the bill. But this place, via 365gay.com, writes, the House of Representatives is scheduled to vote Thursday, which is tomorrow, on legislation that would add crimes based on sexuality to the federal hate crime law. The bill passed its final committee hurdle last week. And, I mean, this is really scary. The Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, also known as the Matthew Shepard Act, would allow the Department of Justice to assist local authorities in investigating and prosecuting cases in which violence occurs. But what they're not telling you is that in California classrooms and many others around the world, around the country, what they're trying to do is degenderize men and women. In California, their definition of gender is what a person perceives themselves to be, and they want this across the board. So in other words, you can't say mom and dad no more. You cannot refer to someone as gay or straight. You can't do anything. You can't say, you know, if you're gay, if you believe that someone who's gay is going to hell and you voice that, you'll be jailed because you'll be prosecuted for committing a hate crime. This is a very, very, very scary and serious legislation. And if this should pass, we're all in trouble because they'll come to our blogs and read some of the things we said. Now, I don't hate gays. I do believe what I said, that gay means now, since it used to mean happy and jolly, and it means a gay person now, I do believe God against your sin. I do believe that, and I don't care what anybody says. In the Bible, it says a man laying with another man or a woman laying with another woman is an abomination to God, not to do it. It's not natural. I'm not going to justify what I believe because that's what I believe. They don't feel they have to justify what they do. But I had suggested that all my people contact their local congressman or congresswoman and let him or her know, you know, that you're against passing it, because should this pass, our whole lifestyle will change completely.
Yeah, well, the real problem with those is that they start off as making you know, the severity of the crime, if there's actually a physical element to the hate involved. That's how they start off as a, to prevent the physical portion, and then of course the next thing is the hate crime will involve even maybe criticizing, and then it'll be even mentioning, you know, that somebody, you think somebody is wrong to be gay. I mean, you're not even criticizing, you're just giving your own opinion or anything. That'll
right.
eventually be a crime. And then we end up with the, this way I'm opposed to all hate crime. Listen, if something's a crime, okay, you go in and you stab somebody, you hit somebody in the head and everything else, I don't believe we need to go and say, okay, let's double the sentence for it. Why not just look at the crime and see if the crime was heinous, if it was an egregious act of physical abuse and barbarity, and sentence accordingly. The judges know when somebody, we had in New York last week, a man raped a woman, he cut open her eyelids, he threw hot boiling water and chlorine on her private parts to try to disguise or to ruin his DNA. I mean, the torture and horror. I mean, it was such a horrible crime. This man, okay, now there's rape.
Did the woman live?
Yes, she did. But what I'm saying here is that, I can't even discuss that thing. I don't know why I brought it up, but I got so revolted at the thing. This is something deserving of the most extreme punishment that we could make against a person. You know, there's people, and this is why you can't make every rape should be punishable by death. Let's say somebody's out on a date, they get drunk, they both didn't realize what they were doing. Okay, statutory rape or whatever, he can get some punishment. But certainly this particular man, even if he never even raped her, but just abused her like this, tortured her like this, he deserves to, you know, and I'm against capital punishment. But I don't know how else, for these particular people, I don't know what, they make me really wonder about my sense of humanity here. I want to have them tortured back. I want them, you know, somewhere on a rack and whipped every day, you know, because capital punishment wouldn't do any good to them because, their life would just be over and there's no suffering. But I would want them to suffer horribly. And there's, there's no need to have a specific hate crime for religion, for Jews, for Muslims, for anybody else, because it only leads to an even worse crime, and the crime that it leads to is that it shuts up people. It shuts their mouths.
Yeah, well,
look at Europe.
Yeah. One of my readers is so frustrated. She said, "We're done, Layla. This country has lost its moral compass for good." And I'm beginning to think that's the truth. It's
if we can't complain about the things that annoy and bother. And by the way, on the immigration issue, I'm opposed to the speaking of Spanish. I'm opposed to Spanish language schools, but I'm not opposed to immigration on provided it's legal. You know,
I understand. Sure.
So I have some positions that are, you know, maybe not completely. I wouldn't mind 20 million Mexicans, but they would have to come in normally, be documented, be vetted. Not be
right.
Criminals, become part of the American. You know, when you mentioned before about getting a piece of the American pie, you know, that's not really accurate. What really happened in the past 200 years is that the immigrants came here and made their own pie, and that became their dream.
Well,
they
that's
made
what
their
I meant.
Pie.
I think when
yeah,
people
I know,
say,
I know what you meant.
Yeah, I think people when you say a piece of the American pie in the sense that you have the opportunity to make your own pie here. You don't have that in many other countries.
Yeah,
you,
but these people
any.
Don't want to make their own pie. They want a piece of somebody else's pie, and that's what I object
well,
to.
Well, they don't want just a piece. They want the whole pie. And
yeah, but they don't
want to
give me some of it. Hey, listen, I cook the pie. I'd like to have a taste, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this is the problem with that legislation. It can only lead to and the amazing part of this is that you have all these left wingers that were always worried about the Patriot Act and how it would chill, what do you call it, free speech, or that where we have big government watching us and we would lose our freedoms. And yet they're the ones who support these ridiculous hate crime things that in the end will make it impossible for them to be able to say anything, you know, that makes somebody's feelings hurt, you know.
Feelings hurt
shouldn't be a crime, you know.
It says that opponents are also mounting a national email campaign to the representatives. And it says, last week, a group of African-American pastors and an organization that claims to cure unwanted same-sex attraction through faith called for defeat of the legislation. The black pastors said sexuality cannot be equated to race and civil rights. Exodus International, the largest of the so-called ex-gay groups, called the bill an affront. The week before, a much larger non-denominational group of clergy called for passage of the bill. Now, you have to remember, I took this off a site that is for this bill. This 365gay.com. I find it really
I don't see how that's good for gays. I just don't see it. In other words, if they make it that we can't call somebody, you know, mother and father, you know, we can't make those gender distinctions, it'll come back and bite them on the ass.
Well,
you know, and
you know,
that people won't be able to call people what people are. We're gonna have to describe. We're gonna have to get a whole new noun, a pronoun, to describe people. You know, something more neutered than it. You know, we'll be going to the bank and saying, "Did you speak to your wife?" I said something to it, and it said to me that I gotta go to.
But
it
if they
and,
do that, right? But if they do that, then think about this. This is really hysterical. PETA is now lobbying and trying to make this a law that we can no longer refer to dogs or cats or any animal as an it.
Well, that's pretty good. So we can call the animal what it is. It's just humans we have to neuterize.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly why I brought this up.
Well, I like that. That's a very good, interesting observation. We're getting it from both ends, so that we can give chickens names when we get into the deli. You know, give me that George the ham, and the mother chicken and the father rooster. But the people walking in the street, they're no longer mothers and fathers. They're the the parent unit, the parental unit. Remember
right.
that those science fiction movies? You know, everything's a unit, you know, except for chickens. You know, those are personal, unique individuals.
Really?
Are we in Star Trek?
Quote. But here's another
somebody
quote.
Wake me up, for God's sake, somebody wake me up.
We're
in Star Trek.
Yeah, listen.
Go ahead,
I know. Listen to this stupid remark. As a nation founded on the ideals of tolerance and justice, we simply cannot accept violence that is motivated by bias and hate. This Smith guy says, current law is limited, our proposal would change that and change it permanently. Now, this is from 365gay.com.
You know, that's nonsense. When somebody commits a crime, it's a crime. If somebody throws a rock and hits somebody over the head with a bat, it's a crime. I mean,
listen to how they end this. This is really sick, yeah. In my opinion. It says, we have grown more inclusive and more compassionate and more committed than ever.
I don't understand what they're talking about. Are they trying to say that if a cop comes across a scene and he sees a gay person hit over the head with a bat, he says, well, I can't arrest anybody because this is a gay person and we don't have any gay hate crimes. What is he talking about? A crime is a crime. We don't need these other, enhancing. These are just enhancement laws. They only enhance the crime, but again, they offer the loophole, the little attic window where conversation and talking about other people will eventually become the crime. The sensitivity. I mean, look, Muslims have started it already. They don't want people. I don't know what we're going to be referring to very shortly, but 19. I don't know, you can't even call them Muslims anymore. You know, you have to say some other word for the 19 attackers of the World Trade Center.
You can't call illegal aliens anymore. What's the term now they were supposed to call them?
I thought it was undocumented alien.
Undocumented worker.
Visitor.
Or undocumented visitors.
Yeah, I'll have to call the police. Excuse me, sir, I have an undocumented criminal in my home. He's what is he doing? He's breaking my window and he has a gun.
I don't know if you listened to my interview with Al Garza from the Minutemen, but he had talked about that where he is out in Arizona, that when they come over, if you report these illegals, they find out who you are, they reported them, and they'll come to your house and they vandalize and... If you try to defend yourself, the police will actually stick up for the illegals and haul you off to jail. So he said it's gotten to where you cannot even protect yourself on your own property there.
Well, see, I think what's happening here is the people, they're doing it all wrong. What they got to do is if somebody, comes in the house and you want to defend yourself, put on a sombrero, shoot him, call the police and start speaking in Spanish, and with a Spanish accent. I don't know, mister, he came into my house and I had to shoot him, and they'll go let you go because you're Hispanic, and I just pretend you're an illegal alien and you can shoot anybody you want.
Al is Hispanic.
Cool.
I think he's Mexican. Well, when he's on the 16th, we'll ask him again. But I know he has some Indian blood in him and something else. He's a mix. But
he's got to pretend that he just came over so he can shoot somebody, and be a criminal. And they'll have the ACLU come over and defend you even with their own money because you're just pretend. Just say whenever you get arrested for defending yourself, just say, I'm an illegal alien, and then you'll get all the help. You'll get out on bail without any, and they won't even take your fingerprints. They'll do what they do with almost illegal aliens is just leave you back on the street because there's not enough room in the jails for you,
I know. The situation is just growing worse daily. The bills that are being passed and Pelosi and Reid are just really a detriment to this nation.
Well, sooner or later they'll get theirs. I mean, the American people can only be stupid for, so long. And, they'll get a wake-up call. And I think we discussed this once time before. It'll take 2, 3, 4 atomic bombs in the United States. And by the fourth one, Pelosi will say, I think we're under attack. Because anything less than that is not a threat to this country. They can't see any threat. They don't even know they're in a war, they surrendered too quickly, and I guess they didn't notice that nobody was asking for a surrender. It's the most amazing thing in the world, Reid surrendering without anybody asking him. Nobody in Iraq called up and said, do you surrender? But he surrendered right preemptively. That's even worse than the French. At least the French had to point a gun at them and say surrender, and then they say, okay, we surrender. Here, he surrendered before even without anybody asking him.
It's horrible. And on another note, I'm going to run here to Dehimatud. There was something I wanted to bring up. I don't know if you heard this. I'm waiting for it to load here. It takes forever for these web pages to load sometimes. It's about Thailand.
Excuse me?
About Thailand.
The Muslim,
Thai government
took over?
Amnesty to Islamic.
The guys who killed the Christians?
Yes.
I have a...
Robert Spencer wrote about it at Jihad Watch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I had just cross-posted it because it's just really a ridiculous story.
Well, you know, it's going through the entire Asia. I made a blog post the other day about the map of the world. Africa is practically all red. The Middle East is all red with that higher the color red, the more Muslim population is, and the Asia is between 5% and 20% Muslim. There's 60 million Muslims in China. Russia has 20-30 million of them. It's really amazing how many Muslims there are.
And here's a great one on that line. One of our newest contributors from Freedom Cost, Shaim, and if he's listening, forgive me for probably mispronouncing your name, he has a post called "A Dahimi Doing Her Thing," and he quotes Atlas Shrugs. He says, "Is it any wonder Belgium is totally screwed? Kiss the ass of your future beheader. Brilliant. They have lost their souls. The hatred of the good for being good." And the article is about Belgium MEP would strangle Israeli diplomat.
I read that one. That's the top of your post that you're dipping to right now.
Right, yeah. That a member of the European Parliament in Belgium stated in an address that she would like to strangle Israel's ambassador if he discussed Israel's security with her. I mean, this is the attitude in the world. You know, it's not even disagreeing anymore. It's like, if we disagree or I don't like what you have to say, I'll get in your face. You know, I'd like to kill you. I'd like to strangle you. I'll hit you. I mean, it's very violent.
They may not be
going around killing people like the jihadists, but the talk enables them.
Belgium is, they got the churches being sanctuaries for Muslims. I don't know if you read the Brussels Journal. I've corresponded with the author there. I'm a member of his organization there, and he has trouble to homeschool. You can't even homeschool children in Europe now. That's a crime. You have to send, and you know why you can't homeschool your children, because the European Union wants everyone to be taught one tolerant, multicultural way of learning. And the problem with homeschooling is that it gives opportunity for parents to, deprogram their children so that they're not all, of one mind. Okay, so this is a terrible, thread running through all of Europe.
Do you read the Winograd report?
I maybe months ago. I haven't been there lately.
Well, another one of our contributors at DNN, Gentile Warrior, who is James Biga, gives a summary here of the Winograd report provided by the Jerusalem Post. Listen to this. One, on September 17, 2006, the government of Israel decided under Section 8 of the Government Act 2001 to appoint a governmental commission to look into the preparation and conduct of the political and the security levels concerning all the dimensions of the Northern Campaign, which started on July 12, 2006. Today we have submitted to the Prime Minister and the Minister of Defense the classified interim report, and we are now presenting the unclassified report to the public. Two, the commission was appointed due to a strong sense of crisis and deep disappointment with the consequences of the campaign and the way it was conducted. Now, I'm not going to go on to read the rest of that. But three is, this concept of our role affected the way we operated. No one underestimates the need to study what happened in the past, including the imposition of personal responsibility. I'm not going to read the rest of that one, but I'm just giving highlights. And number four is... this emphasis on learning lessons does not only follow from our conception of the role of a public commission. It also follows from our belief that one Israeli society, one of Israeli's greatest society's sources of strength, is being free, open, and creative. And that goes on. And then you can read more at the Jerusalem Post. The link is on thehillchronicles.com/dehimitude. But, you know, that just sounds like here in the United States, we've got a commission for everything. We're going to investigate this, how they behaved here, how they behaved there, what they did, what they didn't do. I mean, it's penny ante stuff. It's schoolyardish.
Yeah, it every time you need to do something, if you form a committee, you're going to end up with a camel. I mean, that's the one animal that must have been formed by a committee, you know. One of the ugliest animals in the world. At my business, we don't have meetings. We don't have committees. We have a nice dictatorship. The people who know what to do gets done, and that's it. We don't. The last any business that has to have a meeting is already doomed to failure. I don't understand. Where you have to investigate, do reports, all these other things. Certainly, in our government, in the United States, the worst thing we've ever had was, who needs the 9/11 Commission? We don't need to know what happened before. What we need to know is, I'll tell you what they need to do. They need not to have 500 people sitting down and making reports. They need one person to go and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to run the security, home security, and you're going to go there and make sure every container port can't be brought into the country with weapons. You do this and you do that. What we need is leadership. We don't need how do you get leadership out of a committee? How do you get that out of a study? I mean, this is all nonsense. You get 20 people together and they start investigating things. They make a constipated government. You can't get anything through. You know, that's why we can't get anything done. We have too many committees
and too many opinions.
We need poor leadership.
Yeah, poor leadership. And what's the other saying? Everybody wants to be a chief, but there's not. Or how does that go? Everybody wants to be the chief, but there's not enough Indians.
And there's not enough Indians. Well, yeah, you need one chief, okay? I might have mentioned to you one time in our off-the-air calls that my wife and I cannot cook in the kitchen together. I mean, one or the other. Two of us cannot do it because she doesn't think I put enough salt, and I don't think she puts enough garlic. And then we get into a thing where if we have to actually sit down and cook together, nothing would get cooked, and it wouldn't taste right.
It's exactly how me and my husband are. We tried it once. We ended up in
Kitchens need dictatorships, you know?
Right.
And leadership. I shouldn't use the word dictatorship. They need leadership. One person making the decisions. You can't have 20 people coming in and adding things to the soup. You know, God knows what it'll end up with. It'll taste like Campbell's chicken noodle or something.
Yeah, really.
I hope I didn't insult you, but we don't use canned soup in my home. Everything has to be scratch.
I don't blame you. Best way to go. Well, listen, it's been over an hour.
Why does the time always end for this? You know.
Well, I can bump our shows up longer if you want. I can maybe the next show we'll do on Monday. I'll bump it up to almost a 2-hour slot. We'll just
see what happens.
Yeah.
Certainly, everything else goes by rather quickly.
Yeah. Well, I'll bump it up to 120 minutes, and we'll just.
I'm figuring this. I'm using this as my therapy since I don't go to a psychiatrist or anything. I can rant. And somehow I get the feeling that there's actually somebody listening on the other end. You know?
Yeah, there are. There are people listening, a couple of return people. And I hope they enjoyed the show. And as always, I close the show saying to visit Planck's Constant and the Hill Chronicles and our news network, the Dehimitude News Network. And on that note, I'm going to play a song and say goodnight.
Oh, good night. And I'll stay out and listen to the song.
Okay, Bernie.
Good night.
Okay, Nate Bernie, I'll talk to you later, and let me get this song going. I'm going to play Glass Onion. I'm going to play Glass Onion because that's right now what I feel like the United States is, just like a glass onion. It makes you cry when the fumes get in your face.